worship. It must have been February, I know it was, February 1997. Our daughter Adeline was 2 years old, and Aurelia was great, and I mean great, with child. Truett would be here within the next month. And so Aurelia's parents said, let us come and take Adeline to Longview for the week. And we were grateful for that. You know, it's hard when your wife is pregnant. And so we let our in-laws take Adeline. And on a Monday afternoon, Adeline started running fever. And her parents called Aurelia and said, Adeline has a slight fever and she wants to come home. Aurelia called me and I said, you tell them to meet us in Waco. I canceled staff meeting. The staff was thrilled. There was no staff meeting. I picked Aurelia up and off we headed to Waco. We had a big old block phone, a brick phone. You kids know what, it was huge. Brick phone, and there were just certain places that you had cell coverage, and we called on the way, and Aurelia's parents had a bag phone. I'm showing my age, and I said, I need to talk to Adeline, and she said, Daddy, I just want to come home. Oh, we drove so fast. We got to Waco. We met there on the traffic circle, ate dinner, and then I moved the car seat and all those toys and her bag all into the back seat, and we were headed home. Aurelia slid into, Truett weighed 9'9" the next month, so you just need to know all that story. Aurelia slid into the back seat, and off we go to San Antonio. Adam, too, in the back. I don't know if we were at Belton or Georgetown, but I looked in the rearview mirror, and there is Adeline just about asleep. Aurelia, as close to her as possible, singing one of those mother-daughter lullabies. Adeline has her baby Sarah doll and her pink satin pillow. And I remember thinking, this is a holy moment. The love relationship between a child and a parent, a child and a mother, a magical, spiritual, holy moment indeed. Years later, about 14 years later, my mother had been in assisted living. My dad had recently died, and the time had come for us to make some other changes, and Mom needed to move to a nursing home. I asked my siblings, would it be okay if Mom moved to San Marcos, to the nursing home there near us. A new home had just opened, and they agreed. And so we moved my mom from Burnet to San Marcos. My mother told folks I never lived anywhere all of my life until my son moved me to San Marcos, except Burnet. And there Mom was. For the next 2 years, every day, often twice a day, I got to go see my mother. She was so frail, about 90 pounds. Mentally, she was sharp. And every day, to go see her, to help her pick out her clothes, to talk about the menu that was coming up, all those things that I got to do with my mother for 2 years. Now, there were a few times in those 2 years that I might miss a day. And on those times, my phone would ring and it would say Mom, and I would say, hello, Mom, and she'd say, oh, Mark, I don't need anything. I don't mean to bother you, but I was afraid you might be sick. I haven't seen you in so long. Oh, to hear that precious voice again. A child and a parent, a magical, spiritual, holy relationship. When I read the third words of Jesus from the cross, the words that George read a few moments ago, I'm overwhelmed with the intimacy and the tender relationship that is expressed between Jesus and his mother. Yes, it's only been 12 weeks since we looked at the birth narratives and we heard again that wonderful birth story of Mary chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus. And now here it is, Lent, and we're reflecting upon Jesus' words. In his book entitled The Cross of Jesus, Warren Wiersbe beautifully chronicles Mary's experience as Jesus' mother. I want to read a portion of Wiersbe's book. He wrote, "Consider the pain Mary experienced because she was chosen to be the mother of our Lord. When she discovered that she was with child, she immediately began to suffer shame and reproach. Her pregnancy was misunderstood, and oh, how the neighbors gossiped. They loved to talk. She married Joseph, a poor carpenter, and gave birth to Jesus in the lowest of circumstances in a stable. And then she and Joseph and Jesus flee Bethlehem to Egypt to escape the sword of Herod, yet innocent children died because of her son, Jesus. I wonder how Mary must have felt when she heard the report that all these boy children had been murdered. And then when Jesus was a teenager says to her, Mom, I have to get busy about serving my heavenly Father. And this began a painful experience of separation between Mary and her son. Painful separation. She didn't understand it all, and Jesus couldn't explain it all. And now, at the cross, she suffers agony as she watches her son die in public, crucified between two thieves, treated like a criminal. All kinds of people walked by and hurled insults at him. Jesus wasn't crucified on a hidden corner on the side street, but no, right outside the city gates where the crowds moved in and out because it was Passover. And now Mary stands at the foot of the cross watching her son die. As she looks up to the cross, her eyes connect with her son. Jesus and Mary gaze deeply into the eyes of each other. Mother and son, a bond, one. John's gospel is the only gospel that tells us these words of Jesus from the cross. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they didn't tell this story. I'm glad John did. It seems that all had deserted Jesus at the cross except John and these faithful women. John tells us that there at the cross was Mary, Jesus' mother, Mary's sister, another Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Four women, three named Mary, and John. All the rest are gone. The disciples, except John, gone. Those who were blind and those who were lame that Jesus had healed, gone. Those that were hungry and Jesus fed, gone. The multitudes who had said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he," they're all gone. Jesus is left on the cross with two thieves looking down at four women and one friend. Many scholars have commented on why the women were there. Some believe that, well, they were women. Because they were simply women, no one would notice. It was unimportant. It was unimportant. But I have to wonder, perhaps it was due to the fact that perfect love casts out all fear. These women and John, they were staying regardless. And of course, Mary would be there, a parent, a mom. As a parent, I cannot think of anything, bar none, more tragic than losing a child, whether young or old. And many of you here today, you've been there. As parents, we have an understanding that our children will always be there, and we will always be there for them, to protect them and provide for them and to be there. That's why these words are so intimate. You feel the pain of Mary as she watches her son. When Mary looked at the cross, she was not looking up at the Messiah. She was not seeing Jesus the Christ. She was seeing Jesus, her son, her firstborn, on the cross near death. Her grief must have been unimaginable. How could this happen? What could she have done differently? And now all she could do was love. The most natural thing in all the world for a mother. In the eyes of the law, they called Jesus a criminal. But for Mary, it was her son. But the words from the cross are really not about Mary's thoughts or feelings, as important as they are. What about Jesus' words? Jesus, on the cross, looks down and directs his words to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," verse 26 and 27. And to John, the disciple whom he loved, he says, "Here is your mother." Our English translation sounds a bit harsh and maybe even cold to us, but truly they're intimate, endearing words in Jesus' day. I read a contemporary translation that I liked that said it this way, John 19, 26, 27, "Woman, mother, oh precious mother, John will now be your son. He will care for you. John, my beloved John, to you I entrust my mother. Love her. Care for her. Oh, John, do this for me." Jesus, suspended between heaven and earth, with all the agony that he endured, with all the sins of the world, pauses to be concerned about his mother. He refused to let his personal agony distract him from his practical duties as a son. Think of the words. Think of the words that we've heard from the cross already. "Father," words of prayer, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." Powerful prayer of forgiveness. And last week, as Walker shared Jesus' words to the thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," because any time you're with Jesus, that is paradise here and now and eternally. But these words, pure, heartfelt, total, transparent love, family love, family matters. When I began to study for this sermon series, Words of the Cross, I realized very quickly that bringing any great theological, deeply scholarly sermons wouldn't happen. And if they did, you would think I was plagiarizing anyway. Like all my sermons, that these sermons from the cross would be pretty simple. The words of Jesus, the statements are short, simple statements. But in reality, the words from the cross may very well contain some of the grandest theological truths with intimate meaning and powerful, glorious message that we ever hear. Jesus says, "Dear woman, mom, your son, John, my friend, always, always, always care for my mother. Family matters." That's the sermon. Family matters. Beneath the cross, family matters. I want you to think about your family. I want you to think about your family. I want to ask you, are there some changes that you need to make in your relationship with your family, with parents, with spouse, with children, with siblings? Are there relationships in your family that need to be mended, restored, revived, that need to be healed? For some, this question makes you a little anxious, doesn't it? Jesus' words from the cross remind me that life is short and fragile. Life's too short. And it's too fragile to waste and to wait. Family responsibilities are too important to procrastinate any longer. In the midst of his pain from the cross, Jesus looks and thinks about family. Oh, church, don't wait any longer. Don't wait any longer to communicate with family. Children grow up. That little 2-year-old in the back seat of our car is 27. And that child that wasn't born will be 25 this week. Families move on. Death happens. My mother's been gone 9 years. Family. Words from the cross. The closer I get to Jesus, and the more I look at the cross, the more I realize that family matters. Take advantage of this day. Jesus did. Maybe we would be more like Jesus if we cared more for family. Shall we pray? Doing family's hard, God. Whether it's being a spouse or being a child or being a parent or being a sibling, it's hard. And we build walls and we build up anger and we build up resentment and stuff happens. We are hurt and we hurt others. And then we say, one of these days we'll deal with it. Well, time will take care of it. Time presses on. We often don't think of thinking about mothers and family in the midst of the cross, but Jesus did. Beneath the cross, Family matters. Family matters. Family matters. Let us not delay, but let us learn from Jesus. Let us forgive. Let us pray. Let us look toward eternity. Let us live every day with Jesus, and let us take care of family matters. Is my prayer in Jesus' name.